The Second Century, paragraphs 11 through 20. Number 11. Had the sun been made one infinite flame, it had been worse than it is, for there had been no living. It had filled all space and devoured all other things, so that it is far better being finite than if it were infinite. Even as the sea within a finite shore is far the better, 'cause it is no more. Whence we may easily perceive the divine wisdom has achieved things more than infinite in goodness and beauty, as a sure token of their perfect excellency. Number 12. Entering thus far into the nature of the sun, we may see a little heaven in the creatures, and yet we shall say less of the rest in particular, though every one in its place be as excellent as it, and this without these cannot be sustained. Were all the earth filthy mires or devouring quicksands, firm land would be an unspeakable treasure. Were it all beaten gold, it would be of no value. It is a treasure, therefore, of far greater value to a noble spirit than if the globe of the earth were all gold, a noble spirit being only that which can survey it all and comprehend its uses. The air is better being a living miracle, as it now is, than if it were crammed and filled with crowns and scepters. The mountains are better than solid diamonds, and those things which scarcity makes jewels, when you enjoy these, are yours in their places. Why should you not render thanks to God for them all? You are the Adam or the Eve that enjoy them. Why should you not exult and triumph in his love, who has done so great things for you? Why should you not rejoice and sing his praises? Learn to enjoy what you have first, and covet more, if you can, afterwards. Number 13. Could the seas serve you, were you alone, more than they now do? Why do you not render thanks for them? They serve you better than if you were in them, everything serving you best in its proper place. Alone you were lord over all, bound to admire his eternal love, who raised you out of nothing into this glorious world which he created for you. To see infinite wisdom, goodness, and power making the heavens and the earth, the seas, the air, the sun, the stars. What wonder, what joy, what glory, what triumph, what delight should this afford? It is more yours than if you had been made alone. Number 14. The sun is but a little spark of his infinite love. The sea is but one drop of his goodness. But what flames of love ought that spark to kindle in your soul? What seas of affection ought to flow for that drop in your bosom? The heavens are the canopy, and the earth is the footstool of your throne, who reign in communion with God, or at least are called so to do. How lively should his divine goodness appear to you? How continually should it rest upon you? How deeply should it be impressed in you? Verily, its impressions ought to be so deep as to be always remaining, always felt, always admired, always seen and rejoiced in. You are never truly great till all the world is yours, and the goodness of your donor so much your joy that you think upon it all day long, which King David, the royal man, well understood, when he said, "My lips shall be filled with thy praise and thy honor all the day. I will make mention of thy loving kindness in thy holy temple." Number 15. The world serves you as in serving those cattle which you feed upon, so in serving those men that build and plow and plant and govern for you. It serves you in those that pray and adore and praise for you, that fill the world with beauty and virtue, that are made to love and honor you, to please and advance you with all the services that the art of man can devise, so that you are alone in the world though there are millions in it beside. You are alone to enjoy and rejoice in all, being the adequate object of his eternal love, and the end of all. Thus the world serves to promote and advance you. Number 16. Those services are so great that when you enter into them, they are ample fields and territories of joy, though on the outside they seem so contemptible that they promise nothing. The magnified pleasures of this corrupted world are like the Egyptian temples in old time. They have a royal front piece, but are ridiculous when you come in. These hidden pleasures, because they are great, common, and simple, are not understood. Number 17. Besides these immediate pleasures here beneath, there are many sublime and celestial services which the world doth do. It is a glorious mirror wherein you may see the verity of all religion, enjoy the remainders of paradise, and talk with the deity. Apply yourself vigorously to the enjoyment of it, for in it you shall see the face of God, and by enjoying it, be wholly converted to him. Number 18. You shall be glorified, you shall live in communion with him, you shall ascend into the throne of the highest heavens, you shall be satisfied, you shall be made greater than the heavens, you shall be like him when you enjoy the world as he does. You shall converse with his wisdom, goodness, and power above all worlds, and therefore shall know him. To know whom is a sublime thing, for it is life eternal. Number 19. They that quarrel at the manner of God's revealing himself are troubled because he is invisible. Yet it is expedient that he should be so. For whatsoever is visible is a body. Whatsoever is a body excludes other things out of the place where itself is. If God, therefore, being infinite, were visible, he would make it impossible for anything to have a being. Besides, bulk as such in itself is dead. Whatsoever is visible is so in like manner. That which inspires bulk with motion, life, and sense is invisible, and in itself distinct from the bulk which it inspires. Were God therefore pure bulk, he could neither move, nor will, nor desire anything, but being invisible, he leaves room for and affects all things. He fills nothing with a bodily presence, but includes all. He is pure life, knowledge, and desire, from which all things flow, pure wisdom, goodness, and love, to which all things return. Number 20. Hence we may know why God appears not in a visible manner is because he is invisible. Those who are angry with the deity for not showing himself to their bodily eyes are not displeased with the manner of revelation, but that he is such a God as he is. But though he is invisible, yet they say he may assume a body and make himself visible therein. We ask them, therefore, what kind of body they desire. For if he should take upon himself a visible body, that body must represent some of his perfections. What perfections, then, would they have that body to express? If his infinity, that body then must be infinite, upon which the same absurdity would follow as before. For being infinite, it would exclude all being beside out of place. If his eternity, that cannot by a body be represented. Neither is any sense able to judge of infinity or eternity. For if he should represent himself by an infinite wall, sight being too short might apprehend itself defective, and be assured that it could not apprehend the ends of that wall. But whether it had ends, which itself was not able to discern, it could not be satisfied. Would you therefore have it to express some other of his perfections, as particularly that of his beauty? Beauty being a thing consisting of variety, that body could not be one simple being, but must be sweetly tempered of a manifold and delightful mixture of figures and colors, and be some such thing as Ezekiel saw in his vision. For uniform beauty the sun is the most delightful, yet is not that sun the most delightful thing that is possible? A body more beautiful than it may be made. Suppose, therefore, the most beautiful that is possible were created. What would follow? Being a silent and quiet object of the eye would be no more noted than if it had not a being. The most beautiful object, being always present, grows common and despised, even as a picture is at first admired, but at length no more regarded than the bare wall. Since, therefore, the most beautiful thing that is possible, being always continued, would grow into contempt. How do we know but that the world is that body, which the deity both assumed to manifest his beauty, and by which he maketh himself as visible as it is possible he should?